We thank you, Lord, that we can come here on this Palm Sunday and, Lord, just worship you. I thank you, Father, for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for the lives that you have touched. I thank you, Father, for what you're continuing to do in each one of our lives. Now we lift up Pastor John as he prepares himself to bring forth your word today. We pray, Father, that the word that you have laid upon his heart, Lord, that we would have ears that are ready to hear, hearts that are ready to respond, and a will for ready to action. Mm-hmm. Lord, take this word, anoint it, and may we walk it out and not just dismiss it. Father, we ask and we thank you in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I remember when I was back in junior high school, and a lot of years ago, back in the last century, you know, and makes it sound even longer, huh? It seemed like, and I'm sure everybody here thinks the same way, it seemed like there was nothing more important to me than to be accepted and to have friends. Wasn't that important back then? And it's especially true in that time of our life, in those preteen or early teen years, we desperately want to fit in and be accepted. And honestly, I don't think there's any time in our life where, you know, we wouldn't want to have a friend or where we wouldn't want to have any relationships or where we would want to be all alone in the world. I mean, who wants to be, you know, all alone? I mean, it's nice to be alone sometimes, you know, for a little break, but to be really alone is no fun. Loneliness isn't a good feeling to think that nobody cares about us, that nobody knows us, or nobody even wants to know us. It's a bad feeling. And, you know, way back in the beginning of time, we read in the book of Genesis that God had made a perfect world. You know, he looked over his creation and each phase, and he would say, it was good. It's good. It's good. And then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, for the very first time, God said, well, there's something that's not good. And you know what it was? He said, it is not good for the man to be alone. And that's why he created a woman for us, someone to be that we could have a relationship with, because God knew that nobody should be alone. It wasn't good then, and it's not good now. God didn't create us to live alone, to be like, you know, like that song of Simon and Garfunkel, a rock and an island. For a rock feels no pain and an island never cries, you know. I mean, to cut everything off and everybody off, that's not life. Being alone does not fit into the plan that God had for any of our lives. We were not designed to be independent. We were created to be interdependent, like we were connected with all different kind of people. And so we are connected to both God and to people. This is how God made us. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37 through 40, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we can't do that if we're all alone. We can't love anybody if we don't know anybody. And so our God, our loving Father, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment and for our, you know, for all of our needs, has given us a solution, and he calls it friendship. You know, and I'm speaking on that because today is Invited Friends Sunday. I know some of you have friends here today, and we're glad you're here. And there's a special bond. Friendship is sort of a special bond between two people or more, two or more people. It brings us together in a positive, life-giving, love-giving kind of way. And it could be friends from work. It could be a married couple. It could, you know, I mean, we can be friends with anybody. Hopefully we're friends with our husband or wife, you know, and we're friends with others in our family and our friends from neighbors, friends, relatives, whoever it might be. And as we saw in the words of Jesus that we just read a minute ago, this friendship can happen on two planes, two levels, between us and people and between us and God. Now today I'm going to focus mostly on the relationship or the friendship between us and God. Did you know that you could be a friend of God? Did you know that? I mean, that's not something that's out of the bounds or out of the realm of possibility. that's something that God actually has made possible. You remember Abraham? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, father of the promise. Abraham was, he was in his late 90s or maybe even 100, right in that range there, and his wife got pregnant because of a promise that God had made to him. And there's a few times in the scriptures, and I'm just going to mention a couple here, in Isaiah 41, where it says, "But you, Israel," Israel was God's people, "and my servant Jacob," he's talking to Jacob, which is the grandson, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob, if you remember, was the father of the 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel. And he says, "I have chosen you, descendants of Abraham, my friend." Abraham, my friend. James 2:23, Abraham believed God. See, when God told him he was going to have a child, a son, who has a kid in their late 90s? They thought they were way past childbearing, child-having age, and here God says, "You're going to have a son." And it says that Abraham believed. He trusted in God. And because of that, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. That's in James. Wouldn't it be nice to be described as God's friend? How'd you like to have that, you know, known about you, you know? Yeah, there's Eli over there. He's God's friend. There's Kevin over there. He's smiling because he knows that he's God's friend, right? Ron's got this big old smile on his face. I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. So what I want to do now is I want to take it just maybe a step further. And now we're talking about something Jesus was saying. In the Gospel of John, we read where Jesus calls his disciples, which would include us, because we are now the disciples. We are those who are learning to be like Christ, which is a disciple. He called them friends. He said in John 15, chapter 15, verse 12 through 15, "Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, but to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." In this small section of Scripture, Jesus is giving us some insight into how this friendship can work between us and God. How to make this happen. He tells us that if you're reading the whole, I read through the whole chapter a couple times. I really wanted to get it in, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter now. But it's the chapter where Jesus is talking about him being the vine and we being the branches. I'm sure you've heard that, some of those things. I am the vine, you are the branches. So he tells us that he's the vine and we're the branches, and that for this friendship to work, for this whole process to work, we need to remain in him. The branch needs to remain connected to the vine for the branch to survive, for the branch to live, for the branch to be fruitful, right? If we are connected to Jesus, then we're going to bear fruit if we're really connected to him. And we'll be blessed beyond what we could ever imagine. And that's what God wants to do. We also get to share then this bounty of fruit or friendship or love, you know, with others that God puts in our path, that God calls us to befriend or to share the message of reconciliation, the message of friendship. So we should know, you know, just as in any kind of relationship, friendship is going to cost us. Love costs us. It's going to cost us time. It's going to cost us energy. Sometimes there will be pain, and they'll almost always at some point be loss. Having a true friendship with God will definitely cost us. But what we gain from that friendship, what we gain from that relationship, will far, far, far outweigh any cost that we give, that we pay, both in this life and in the life to come, for all eternity. Jesus lays out the cost pretty straightforward. He explains it in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 25. Then Jesus said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple or my friend must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." There's some cost. "For whoever wants to save their life," if you want to keep your way of life, if you want to keep your connection to the world, if you want to keep your own fleshly desires as number one, "whoever wants to save that life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it." So there's the cost, our life. What good is it for someone, this rest of the scripture, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very soul? We could pile up warehouses filled with money, barns, as it talks about in the scripture. He filled up his barns. Remember that guy? He filled up all his barns. "What am I going to do to store up all my wealth? I'll build more barns." He did, and he died that very night. We could pile up warehouses full of money, material goods, even friends in the natural realm. But if we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, we not only lose all of that when we die, but we miss out. We lose out. We lose an eternal life that we could have had with our Lord and Savior Jesus, who calls himself our friend, and he died so that we could be his friend, and he died so that we could have these benefits of that friendship. So how do we make this friendship work? What is our part? What do we have to do, like in reality? What's it going to take in this life? What are some of the characteristics of a godly friendship or a godly relationship? Well, in any relationship, and especially in real friendship, there are essential elements, so parts that are necessary to follow through on, to do. And the first one, and you know, we do this in marriage counseling, we do this in premarital counseling, it's essential in all areas of life, but especially in friendship. And that's communication. Talking. Sharing, letting the other person know what you're thinking, what's on your heart. And Jesus made a statement, we just read it a minute ago there, and in John 15:15, where he said, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you." So see, he's communicating to us. He blessed us with this book that we call the Bible, that opens up our minds and our hearts and gives us this insight into God. And he has, God has revealed himself to us, his deepest ways, his concerns, his insights, his ways, his thoughts, his desires, his commands. He's revealed all this to us in his word. And we can learn all these things as we read and study his word. And yet, unfortunately, many Christians don't take the time to learn about God's character by reading his word. You know, he wrote us these love letters. And that's really what this book is. Who wrote the book of love? God did. And he wrote us this love letter, and it sits up on our shelf. Or it sits on our coffee table. Or it's put away somewhere and it's all dusty. And those love letters, they just remain unopened. How sad. Unread. Would we do that to our human friends? If a friend wrote you a letter, sent you a letter, especially like what if it was your fiance or someone, a really good friend, someone you cared about? Would we just stick it up on the shelf and forget about it? I don't think so. Jesus says that his people will know his voice. A true friend of God has to learn how to silence the voices of this life, the voices of this world, the voices of our flesh, the passions, the lusts, the pride, the selfish ambition, and all those other voices in the world, so that we can hear the voice of the one who wants to be our truest friend, Jesus. Sometimes he speaks to us quietly when we take that word, that letter, that love letter, and we read it, and he speaks right into our heart. Sometimes he speaks to us when we're praying or maybe meditating on his word. Sometimes he speaks to us as we are worshiping or listening to a message like right now. Sometimes it's through another friend, or maybe it's just through the beauty of his creation. We see God. And the Holy Spirit has a way of helping us to find God in all those different areas, because the Holy Spirit is like the introducer. He's the one who says, I want you to know the Lord. I want to help you get to know him. I want to guide you and counsel you and reveal to you this Jesus. God who wants to be your friend. So we have to make ourselves available. We have to draw near so we can learn to recognize his voice. Another thing, true friends need to speak the truth to one another. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, it says that wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. God is not afraid to speak the truth to us. Sometimes we're too afraid to tell somebody the truth. You know, they tell us something, hey, do you like this? And we just because we don't want to start something, oh, yeah. And we might not even think it's good or it's good for them. That's why it says, and then sometimes our enemies even will come and butter you up, multiplying kisses, it says. But a true friend will tell you. They'll tell you what's going on. So God's not afraid to speak to us, and we have to be willing to listen to what he's trying to say to us. And he speaks to us in the Word, in this communication to us. He speaks right into our heart. Remember that his Word is living. His Word is active. It's like looking into a mirror. When we read that Word, it points right back at us, and it tells us that he judges the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Who else can see that? Who else can know that to be able to tell us that you shouldn't be thinking like that? Only God can do that. And he tells us because he loves us. He's willing to take the risk that we might get a little mad, but he's still going to tell us. He knows that some of those very things that we're doing sometimes, or we're thinking, or we're planning on, can eat us up and destroy us. So he warns us. He communicates the truth to us like a good friend should. And He also wants us to be open and truthful to Him, to come to Him when we're weary, to come to Him when we're and pour out our heart, pour out our fears or our doubts or even our burdens and our times when we're mad at Him. It's okay. God can take it. He's a good friend. He's not going to walk away just because we get upset with Him. He can handle our complaints and our fears and our frustrations. God would never resent open communication. That's exactly what He wants. Remember, He knows our thoughts anyway. He already knows. He knows what we're thinking before we do to some degree. Well, in all ways. He knows what's in there. So it's actually really more for us when we communicate that, because we need to be able to share them, those things. We need to be able to get them out. And we need to remember that God chose us. He knew what He was getting when he brought us into the family. He knew exactly what we were like, who we were, what we're doing, and what we were going to do, what we'd done. There's no sense in being afraid of talking to God and sharing our deepest needs, and even our failures and our sins to Him. He's ready to hear. As a friend, we need to have regular contacts. That's important too, and so the Word says, come to Me. Come to Me, all you who are weary. Come to Me. And there's other scriptures that say, draw near to God. Come close. Hear, learn from Me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always. Even there's one, a scripture says, come boldly before the throne of God. How can we come boldly before God? Well, we can come boldly because He tells us that He will always be there for us. And that He's forgiven us and He's cleansed us. And so even though, yes, we mess up, and even though, we may not feel like we deserve to be there, God says, don't worry. It's okay. Come on, come on, come on. You can come in. There's never a time when God will reject us if we come to Him with a sincere heart. That's all He's looking for. Which leads us right into the next aspect of friendship, and that's that friends trust one another. Abraham trusted God so much that he was willing to give up his son Isaac. If you remember the story, God had told him he was going to have to go up on a mountain and sacrifice Isaac. Now, that had to be really tough for a father to say, oh, okay, I'll do it. But see, Abraham trusted God so much. He really did. He trusted Him so much that he knew the promise from God. That's why he was God's friend, because he believed the promise. The promise was that through Isaac, you will have this tremendous line of descendants that will be like the sand on the seashore. We're actually those descendants now. And so he knew that, well, if that's the case, and Isaac's just a young boy, God's going to do something. He's somehow going to either bring Isaac back or do something. I don't know what it's going to be, but if God tells me to go up there and sacrifice him, I'll do it. And if you know the story, right when he raised up his hand with the knife to sacrifice him, an angel of the Lord came and stopped him. God just wanted to know that he would do it. He was never going to make him do it. He just wanted to know, will you trust me no matter what? And Abraham proved faithful because he was a friend who trusted his God. Do we have that kind of trust in God? Man, that's hard. We may fail sometimes, but that should be the ideal that we're going after. And even if we do fail, God is ready to forgive us at any moment. Do we believe the words that God speaks to us? I hope so. God can speak to any one of us. He can reveal himself through his Spirit, through his Word, in so many different ways. Do we trust God that he's working out all things to our good even when we don't see it, even when it doesn't make any sense and we say, oh man, I can't believe this happened to me. How could God use this? I can't see it. I don't see it. And that's where the trust comes in. That's where faith comes in. Not when everything's going good, but when everything is falling apart. Can we trust God that we will find that in the future we'll be able to look back and say, now I see. Now I see what God was doing. If we trust God, if we keep looking for God in the midst of that disaster, I guarantee you, you will find Him. You will find His blessing. Because that's what He's all about, blessing His people. Every one of us will face those trying times. And knowing that God is there and learning how to trust Him will give us a peace that passes all understanding during those trying times. We may not know how, but we just know that somehow it's going to work out with Jesus. He'll never let us down. He's the lover of our soul. Do we inspire that type of trust in people that would want to call us a friend? That they know they can trust us, that we'll be there for them. That if we say something, are we a person of our word? Can we do that for God? God has entrusted us with certain things. His word. He gave us His word, and now He asks us to be obedient to that word. We are His body, we're His hands, and we're His feet. And so He wants us to carry on the work, to seek first His kingdom, you know, to trust Him, to know that we honor God by doing the work that He's called us to do. Can He trust us to follow through on that? Another thing that friends do is they enjoy giving to one another. God has given us the greatest gift that anyone could ever give somebody, and that was His Son Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, God calls Jesus His indescribable gift. We can't even describe this gift. It's just too amazing to be able to describe. God's also given us the gift of forgiveness and eternal life, the Holy Spirit, all kinds of spiritual gifts, all kinds of blessing and talents, and the list could go on and on and on, the things that God has given us. Every good gift, every good thing we got is a gift from God. What gifts could we possibly give God? Well, we can. We can give Him gifts. There's plenty of them. Our love, our obedience, our time, our prayers, our talents used for His glory. There's a lot of things we can give God. But basically, it all comes down to one thing, and that is to accept the fact that we are called by God, and it's spoken in His Word, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. That's the pure worship that we give God. That's the thing above all that we can give God, ourself. Ourself. Whatever we do it as unto the Lord. That's our gift to Him. Remember the poor widow and Jesus talked about her in Mark 4:12, the widow came up and put a couple coins, a couple pennies, a couple copper coins into the basket, and Jesus said to His disciples, His friends, truly I tell you that this poor widow has put more money into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything she had to live on. So, see, what God is saying is that as a friend of God, when we give Him something, it doesn't need to be the thing that He gave or she gave. It doesn't need to be something big. It needs to be what we have. What we have. Who we are. That's all that God asks for us, what we can give. Another thing that friends do is defend and protect one another. God is our protector and our defender. He's our shield and our fortress. Proverbs 2, verse 7 and 8 says, He holds success in store for the upright. He's a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. As we live for God, and as we're walking in His will, God will always be watching over us. He'll always be there to protect us. He will never allow us to, you know, for things to fall apart when we're doing His will. When we're doing His will be accomplished. The things that He sets in motion, His plans will be accomplished. And if we're walking in that thing, God is going to bless that. And He's going to take whatever our part in it, however we've seen, we may not think it worked out, we may not feel it worked out, but God, if we did it in obedience, if we did it in love, God will work it out to the good. We just have to do our part. That's what we're supposed to do. So, how do we protect and defend God? Well, how can we protect God, or how can we defend Him? Well, I thought of a scripture that just jumped out at me as soon as I started thinking about that in Romans 1:16, where Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. See, our job is not to be ashamed, but to be a defender of God's name on this earth. We're supposed to be a defender of His truth, of His word, of His holiness, of His reputation. That's how we defend our God. We defend Him and His word and His truth to others around us. Sometimes it's a little scary, but we can't be more concerned about the world and how the world thinks of us than about how God thinks of us. James 4:4 says, friendship with the world means hatred towards God. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So He's telling us that, you know, we can't be more concerned about the world than about God. One last thing. Friends delight in meeting each other's needs or desires. I read earlier in John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I command. Our obedience to God is not based on fear. It shouldn't be based on fear. It shouldn't be based on worry. It shouldn't be based on, you know, God's going to kill us or smash us. It shouldn't even be based on duty, even though duty is a good thing. But our obedience to God should be based on one word. You know what it is? Anybody? Love. Love. Our desire to please God should be based on love. Love is the strongest motivator that there is on this earth. Nothing is more powerful in compelling us, in propelling us, in pushing us forward to do what needs to be done. How many times have you done something for your children, for your spouse, for your parents, for whoever that you would never, ever want to do, but you say, you know, I got to do it? Because I love them. Look what God did for us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. In 1 John 5:3, it says, this is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. God's not a tyrant. He's not out there just trying to make us do things just to prove that He's God. That's not the way God operates. He's our friend, and His commandments are always for the best. Always. Everything that God does for us, everything that He asks us to do, is done out of love. He loves us. And everything He does will always end up being a blessing for us. As we delight in serving God, then His delight is in blessing us. Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Wow, that's pretty nice. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God wants to bless you. And He wants people to see that you're blessed. He wants people to know what a good God He is. What a good friend He is. And He can be for them too. You could never have a more giving, you could never have a better friend than God Himself. You can't. There's nothing in all the world that is so amazing, so strange, so unique as this bond of friendship that the Creator of the world, that our Lord, that we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's very unique. And as we stretch our hand out to reach out to Him across the centuries, thinking back, you know, all the sin, all the death, all the destruction, all the things that have gone on in this world, the wars and the calamities and the disasters. And yet we can reach back to that time when He went on that cross, which we celebrate this week. And we can still sort of touch that beating heart, the heart of a friend who died for us. But even though He died, He came back, and He lives now, here, today, this morning. He's right here, right now. 2,000 years ago, He spoke to His disciples, and we read it. And His words still ring just as true today as they did on that day, because He is here today. He is alive today, and He's just as welcoming as when He spoke to those disciples. And now He speaks to us. Now He speaks to you. And He invites you to be His friend. You are my friends if you do as I command. So He's calling us to take this step of faith, to take this step over our fears, over our doubts, over all our worries about becoming a Christian. Step over that line. Offer Him your heart. And receive Him as your Lord, as your Savior. And in the process of doing that, you will end up meeting the best friend that you could ever have, the friend that you have longed for all your life, one who will never, ever let you down, one who will do anything in His power, which has no limits for your good, one who will always be there for you. Man, what a friend. I could have the prayer team come forward. You know, maybe you've never made that commitment. Maybe you have. And maybe you say, you know, I haven't been that great of a friend of God. Maybe I just need to reestablish that friendship. Or maybe there's something else you need prayer for. But you're welcome to come forward and get prayer this morning for whatever it might be. And maybe you feel that tug on your heart where God is telling you, and you're feeling it, because I know He speaks that to all of us, where He says, I do want to be your friend. Not her, not him. I'm speaking to you. I want to be your friend. It costs a lot, but it's actually still very easy to do. It costs our life, I talked about earlier. And we do need to count that cost. But to take that step is actually very easy. It's just a matter of saying, you know what? I'm tired of fighting. I just want to get to know you, Lord. I need you. I can't do this on my own anymore. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, that you offer us, you extend to us the hand of friendship. of fellowship, of relationship. That you offer us a commitment on your part to be there for us forever. You offer us salvation. You offer us forgiveness. Lord, I pray that all of our hearts are there today, that we're in that place where we know you, where we love you, where we're serving you, where we've committed to being your friend as you have committed to being ours. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each person here and each person that hears this message. Thank you, God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.